Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something that's, well, probably shaping your experience every time you open an app on your phone. Dark patterns.
Yes. Dark patterns. It's a slightly ominous name, isn't it?
It is. Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. These are basically design tricks in apps. They're deliberately created to push you toward choices you might not have made otherwise.
Exactly. Like those subscription signups that feel, you know, almost impossible to back out of.
Or when you want to cancel something and the button is somehow buried like 3 layers deep in the settings.
Right. And more often than not, these designs benefit the company behind the app. Maybe not so much you, the user.
What's really fascinating here is how these, like, subtle design choices can really steer your behavior.
And ultimately where your money goes. It's about influencing decisions, sometimes almost without you fully realizing it's happening.
Totally. And for this deep dive, we're focusing on some pretty significant accusations against, well, a tech giant you've definitely heard of. Apple.
Apple, okay.
We're going to explore claims that they've been using these dark patterns, specifically when it comes to in-app purchases and steering you away from payment options outside of their own app store.
And this is a really important discussion right now, isn't it? Because it stems from a recent court referral.
Yes, exactly. A referral to the United States Attorney, actually. The core question is whether Apple has genuinely followed through on a legal order from 2021, an injunction.
Okay, right. I remember the big lawsuit, Epic Games versus Apple.
That's the one. And one of the outcomes was this injunction, which was supposed to stop Apple from engaging in, well, anti-competitive behavior.
Both within their own in-app purchase system and also regarding other ways you might pay, like outside the app.
Exactly. And now Apple's actual response to that specific court order is facing some serious scrutiny. So let's get into the details.
Okay, so the main point of the injunction, the goal, was really to empower developers, right? To let them freely tell you, the user, about other ways to pay.
Cheaper ways, potentially.
Potentially cheaper ways, yes, outside of Apple's own system. And critically, this included giving them the clear ability to put links in their apps, direct links to their own websites for payment.
But Apple's way of handling this was, well, it raised some eyebrows. Instead of just allowing these links freely, they introduced a brand new 27% commission.
A commission on sales made outside the app.
Yes. And here's the really interesting part. It wasn't just on purchases you made immediately after clicking the link. No. This commission applied to any digital purchase you made on that developer's website for a full 7 days after you clicked that external purchase link from within the app.
7 days. Wow, that's quite a window. And that's a big shift, because before this, Apple only took a cut from sales happening directly inside the app itself through their system.
Exactly. Before the injunction, if a developer somehow got you to go to their website to pay, Apple didn't get a commission on that. The injunction was meant to make that easier, but Apple's response basically put a new tax on it.
It really turns the intention of the injunction on its head, doesn't it?
It seems that way. And it wasn't like Apple hadn't thought about other ways to comply. They had internal discussions, codenamed Project Michigan, apparently.
Okay. What were they considering?
Well, they looked at several options. One was, believe it or not, to have no commission on these link out purchases.
Really? No commission at all?
Right. But with stricter rules about where developers could actually place those links within the app. Kind of a trade-off.
Okay, that makes sense. What else?
Then there was the option closer to what they actually did, the 27% commission. Initially, that was maybe considered with fewer restrictions on link placement, but that's not quite how it ended up.
And Apple's own internal analysis of these options is really telling, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. They understood perfectly well that a no-commission model would be, and I quote, very attractive to developers.
Which makes sense.
And that it would likely cause a lot of developers to adopt the link out options. Crucially, they also recognized this would create competitive pressure on their own in-app purchase system.
Which, let's be clear, was pretty much the whole point of the injunction in the first place, to create that competitive pressure.
Exactly. So their internal thinking directly contradicts the public face they put on it later. That's a key insight from the court findings.
So knowing all this, knowing a no-commission option would work and achieve the injunction's goal, they chose the path with both the 27% commission and, as we'll get into, significant restrictions on placing the links.
Yeah. The court documents literally describe this choice as the most anti-competitive option they considered.
It really highlights this core conflict, doesn't it? The legal order aimed to boost competition, but Apple's chosen method seems designed specifically to stamp that competition out.
And we even have feedback cited from developers, like Bumble, for instance. They apparently told Apple directly that adding even one single extra step to a payment process can cause a huge drop-off in customers completing the purchase.
That makes total sense. Think about your own experience online, right? If something feels clunky or takes an extra click,
you might just give up, especially if you're about to spend money. Introducing friction, even small amounts, can be a really effective way to stop someone from doing something.
Definitely. It underlines how crucial a smooth user experience is for sales.
So, what was Apple's internal justification for this 27% commission then? They argued that, well, developers still benefit from Apple's tools, their platform, their services, even if the final purchase happens on the developer's website.
Okay, I can see that argument to a point, but there's a catch, isn't there?
There is, because developers who use these external links also have to pay their own payment processing fees.
Yeah.
You know, to Visa, MasterCard, or whoever processes the payment on their website.
Right. So it's potentially a double hit for them.
Yeah.
They pay Apple the 27% and they pay the standard processing fees,
which could easily eat up any savings they might have hoped to pass on to you, the customer.
Exactly. So the cost savings that the injunction was supposed to enable by letting developers offer maybe slightly lower prices externally, well, this commission structure, plus the developer's own costs, could wipe that out completely.
And here's where it gets even more pointed. Apple's own financial modeling, their internal spreadsheets, showed that with this 27% commission factored in, these linked out transactions would likely end up costing developers more than just sticking with Apple's original 30% cut for in-app purchases.
Wow, so it actively disincentivizes using the external link option. It makes it more expensive for the developer than the status quo.
Precisely. It suggests the commission wasn't really about fairly valuing Apple's services, but maybe more about protecting their existing revenue and making sure developers didn't actually use these external links much.
That strongly undermines the whole purpose of the injunction, making the external option financially unattractive.
And this wasn't some low-level decision buried in the finance department. The court documents point to a specific price committee meeting.
Oh, who was there?
This is where the 27% commission and that 7-day tracking window were finalized. And according to the findings, the decision makers included Tim Cook, Luca Maestri, and Phil Schiller.
So the very top leadership. That really shows how strategically critical this was for Apple's business model.
Absolutely. Now, initially, some Apple employees tried to justify this commission rate after the fact. They referenced something called an AG report that supposedly valued Apple's services at that level.
Okay.
But the court found internal documents showing the decision on the 27% was actually made before that report was even finalized.
Ah, so the justification might have been constructed afterward to fit the decision.
That's what the court seemed to imply, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely raises questions about the transparency and the real intent behind it all.
And it wasn't just the money, the commission, that made things difficult for developers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Apple also layered on rules about where and how these links could even appear.
Right. Remember that internal trade-off discussion? No commission, but strict placement rules.
Okay.
Or the commission with maybe more flexible placement.
Yeah.
Well, they ended up with a commission and pretty significant placement restrictions anyway. Think about this. Generally, developers can only put one external purchase link on any given page in the app.
Just one. Okay.
And it can't be in a pop-up. You, the user, have to actively navigate to a specific page to even find it. And here's the real kicker.
Uh-oh.
That link absolutely cannot be on the same page where you see the standard Apple in-app purchase options.
So you can't easily compare prices or options side by side, right, when you're thinking about buying.
Exactly. It prevents that direct comparison at the point of decision.
Which makes it much harder for a developer to clearly show you, hey, here are two ways to pay. Maybe one is better for you.
We even heard about testimony from a developer, Ben Simon. He explained how this setup really stops them from giving users a straightforward choice and could easily cause confusion. Like, are these even related options?
Makes sense. What was Apple's official reason for separating them like that?
Their stated reasons were worries about user confusion and security risks.
Hmm. But the court wasn't entirely convinced by that, were they?
No. For example, Apple argued putting external links next to IAP options would confuse users. But wait a minute. Apple actually reviews and approves every single external link developers want to use anyway.
Ah, right. So if they've already approved the link destination, the placement itself shouldn't suddenly make it insecure or confusing, logically.
Exactly. The link itself isn't the security threat they seem to imply. And here's another interesting point. Links for physical goods and services within apps. They aren't subject to these same strict placement rules.
Oh, that's telling. So the rules seem specifically targeted at digital goods, the very area where Apple takes its commission and faces potential competition from these external links.
Seems that way. And then there's the issue of how these links are even allowed to look. The injunction basically said developers should be able to use buttons, you know, clear calls to action.
Like a proper buy now button, perhaps?
Right. Not just plain blue text like a standard web link. Well, Apple's guidelines pretty much took the teeth out of that requirement. They mandate a plain button style. No eye-catching colors, no contrasting backgrounds allowed. It has to blend in. And get this.
There's more.
They have to include a small, specific Apple-provided icon right next to the website address on the button or link.
So an Apple icon next to the link sending you away from Apple.
Yep. Even though Apple knew internally the injunction meant allowing real buttons, their rules seem designed to make these external links look, well, less like a button and much less noticeable, less appealing than the standard Apple purchase button.
It sounds like they're deliberately trying to make the external option visually weaker.
That's certainly what some testimony suggested, that this plain link style was an intentional choice specifically to stifle competition, to make the external option seem less attractive or trustworthy to you.
Okay, so we have the commission, the placement rules, the visual limitations. What else?
Well, there's more friction added. When you actually manage to find and click on one of these permitted external purchase links, you don't just go to the website. You're immediately hit with a full-screen warning message.
A warning? Like, are you sure?
Yes, but it's described as a full-screen takeover, not just a little pop-up. And the language used in this warning, well, this is quite something.
Go on.
Internal Slack messages revealed Apple employees were actively discussing how to word this warning to sound, and I quote, scary to users.
Scary? Seriously?
Yes, so specifically to discourage you from leaving the app to go pay on the website. They even talked about including the phrase external website, because apparently that sounds scary to executives.
Wow. Actively trying to make a legitimate court-mandated alternative sound dangerous. That's quite a finding.
It really suggests an intent to create anxiety, right?
Yeah.
So you hesitate and maybe just stick with the familiar Apple payment method.
It certainly seems that way.
And another detail the court found particularly troubling.
Yeah.
Instead of using the app's name in this scary warning, like your leaving app name, they decided to use the developer's legal name.
Which might be less familiar or sound more corporate and less friendly.
Exactly. Internally, they apparently considered this the even worse and most anti-competitive option. It could make the warning feel less personal, maybe more alarming, and further discourage you from clicking continue.
And it's not like Apple didn't have experience creating these kinds of screens. They were working on similar warnings for other countries, right? Like the Netherlands, Japan.
Correct.
Yeah.
Due to different regulations there. And guess what? Internal discussions about those screens also involved talk about using a warning tone.
So this wasn't a one-off idea.
Doesn't seem like it. There were even comments about wanting the language to sound like users were being sent into the great wide open, specifically designed to raise questions and hesitancy.
So what was Apple's defense for using the word scary internally?
Their defense was that, in the world of UX writing, scary just means raising awareness and caution. A standard term, they claimed.
In the court.
The court didn't buy it.
Yeah.
They found that testimony just wasn't credible, especially when you look at all the other internal comments about creating hesitancy and using specific phrasing. And of course, this full screen warning isn't passive. You have to actively interact with it, tap a button to dismiss it before you can actually proceed to the developer's website.
Adding another click, another step, another potential point where you might just give up. It's like a deliberate speed bump.
Exactly. Just one more piece of friction in the process.
Okay, this is adding up. Is there anything else related to the links themselves?
Yes, actually. It involves the website addresses, the URLs, that developers are allowed to use for these external links.
What about them?
Apple requires them to be static URLs.
Static versus dynamic. What's the difference in simple terms?
Okay, think of it like this. A static URL is like a fixed street address. Mm-hmm. It always takes you to the front door of the building, say the developer's main website homepage.
Okay.
A dynamic URL is more like having a specific key card and directions. It can take you directly to the exact product page you're looking at in the app, maybe even pre-fill your login information or the item in a shopping cart. Much more seamless.
Ah, I see. So Apple forces the front door approach, making you navigate the website all over again.
Pretty much. Apple's stated reasons were, you guessed it, concerns about security and potential user confusion with dynamic URLs.
But hang on. Don't apps use dynamic URLs all the time for other things, like linking deep into another app or website section?
Exactly. They allow dynamic URLs for lots of other purposes within apps. It seems it's only for these specific external purchase links that they're forbidden.
That inconsistency does make you question the stated security reason, doesn't it? If they were inherently risky, wouldn't Apple restrict them more broadly?
You'd think so. And we heard testimony that forcing developers to use static URLs can actually cause user frustration.
I can imagine. Clicking a link, landing on a generic page, having to log in again, find the item again.
Right. It can lead to login problems, more customer support calls for the developer. It just adds more friction and makes the whole external purchase path less appealing and potentially error-prone for you.
Which, again, seems counter to the goal of providing a smooth, viable alternative.
Okay, nearly there. Let's talk about what developers are actually allowed to say in the app to encourage you to use these external links.
The calls to action, basically.
Exactly. Apple puts really strict limits on the language. They provide only 5 pre-approved, very basic templates.
5? That's not many. What do they say?
An example is just, purchase from the website at www.example.com. That's pretty much the level of excitement allowed.
Wow. So very dry, very factual, no marketing sparkle allowed.
None at all. Developers cannot offer any extra information or incentives within the app about why you might want to buy externally.
So they can't say things like, hey, get 10% off if you buy on our website, or subscribe via our site for exclusive bonus content.
Nope. Strictly forbidden within the app itself. By limiting these calls to action so severely, Apple effectively stops developers from properly marketing their external options, or competing effectively on price or other benefits offered outside the app.
Which directly dampens the competition the injunction was supposed to foster.
And again, Apple knew this. Internal discussions showed they actually considered allowing developers to just put plain text in the app, like find other purchase options on our website, without a direct link and without charging a commission on that.
And what did their analysis show about that?
Their own estimates predicted that even if only a small percentage of users acted on that information and bought externally, it could cost Apple hundreds of millions in lost revenue.
So they were acutely aware of the competitive threat, even from just simple informational text. That really shows their motivation for restricting communication.
Definitely. Now, there's one more significant restriction affecting certain groups of developers.
Oh, which ones?
Apple has special programs, like the Volume Purchase Program, VPP for businesses or schools, and a nonprofit program, MPP. These often give developers lower commission rates, maybe 15% instead of 30%.
Okay, that sounds good for those developers.
It is. But here's the catch. If a developer participating in one of these programs decides to use the external purchase link option, the very thing the injunction allows, their commission rate for all their regular Apple in-app purchases doubles back up to the standard 30%.
What? So they get penalized across the board just for offering the external link?
Effectively, yes. It's a massive disincentive for developers in these reduced rate programs. It basically forces them to choose. Keep your lower rate,
yep,
or offer the external link and pay double commission on everything else.
That sounds incredibly coercive. It essentially locks them into Apple's system if they want to keep their discount.
And Apple seemed to know this. They apparently repurposed some analysis they'd done for the EU's Digital Markets Act about program exclusions when setting this up for the US.
And what did that analysis say?
Their own internal notes describe these programs as a potential tool for retaining developers exclusively on Apple IAP.
Wow. So they explicitly saw it as a loyalty mechanism, a way to prevent developers from using alternatives.
That's what the evidence suggests. So when you add up the commission, the placement rules, the scary screen, the static URLs, the limited calls to action, and these program exclusions,
it's maybe not that surprising that very few developers have actually bothered to implement these external links, is it?
Not at all. The adoption rate of Apple's link entitlement program has been incredibly low. A tiny fraction of developers. And the court specifically found that Apple knew its compliance plan wasn't economically viable for most developers.
And that they intentionally designed it that way.
Yes, to protect their revenue and prevent any meaningful competition from emerging via these external links.
So where did all this lead in the court case?
Well, based on all this evidence, the court found Apple in willful violation of the 2021 injunction.
Willful violation? That's strong language.
It is. And very serious. It led directly to the court referring the matter to the U.S. attorney.
For potential criminal contempt proceeding.
Exactly. Against Apple itself, and also against their VP of finance, personally.
That's significant. So, just to quickly recap the main points where the court found Apple failed to comply.
Sure. It was the 27% commission, plus the 7-day window on external purchases. It was the restrictive rules on link placement and design, making them hard to find and visually weak.
The friction from the full screen scare screen and the requirement for static URLs, making the process clunky.
Right. The severe limitations on what developers could actually say to encourage you to use the external option. And finally, those program exclusions that penalize developers who dared to offer the links.
And the court's overall conclusion was basically that this wasn't just Apple trying its best and maybe getting the interpretation slightly wrong.
No, not according to the judge. The conclusion was that Apple's actions were deliberate, aimed squarely at undermining the injunction's goals, and intended to maintain their existing, arguably anti-competitive practices.
And the potential fallout from this could be pretty big, right? For developers, obviously, but also for us as consumers.
Absolutely. It really brings the importance of fair competition and, you know, transparent pricing in the app world into sharp focus.
It's this constant tension, isn't it? Between the huge platform holders like Apple and the thousands of developers who relied on their platforms, and how that ultimately affects the choices and the prices that you see.
It really is. So here's something maybe to chew on as you go about your day. Just think about the apps you use all the time.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that feeling, maybe, that you weren't being shown all the possible ways to pay for something? Or that getting what seemed like a better deal felt weirdly difficult?
That feeling that something's nudging you one way, even if another way might be cheaper or better.
Exactly. How might these kinds of dark patterns, these subtle design choices, be influencing the decisions you make and the money you spend, maybe without you even consciously realizing it?
It's definitely worth paying more attention, maybe even doing a little research yourself into dark patterns, just becoming more aware of those little design elements that might be trying to steer you.
Something to think about.